Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
What is going on, everyone? Before we talk the birds, baby, before we talk the birds, right now on Twitter, at Broads Media, I am running a giveaway where you have an opportunity to win a Bryce Harper jersey. It's so simple. At the pinned part of the profile, all the way at the top, there is a pinned tweet. You have to retweet that tweet and follow the account on Wednesday. A winner will be selected, so get involved. Also, we are on the road to 20,000 subscribers, so if you are new to the channel, smash that subscribe button and hit that thumbs up button as well. I greatly appreciate it. With that all being said, enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. I'm truly excited as I continue to see Eagles football right now, and I'm not getting blown away. I am not claiming that this team is going to be so special. I'm not claiming that this team is just going to put on a masterful performance majority of the time. But based off of what I've seen to this point with Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and the more that you read about what happened in practice and you listen to people who cover the team and you hear them discuss what they're seeing as well, specifically this nice little how do you do against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, yeah, this is all positive signs. It's all trending in the right direction, at least. And that's all you can ask for right now. The squad looks like they are on the same page, and they are bought into the Nick Sirianni experience. When adversity hits, when real game action is upon us, and when decisions are made that are questioned, a lot become different. That's just reality of the situation. You can ask the coach questions. You can see how he thinks on his feet. You can get a lot of thoughts about his game plan and the way that he is going to use this offense and specifically bring some of these players in to his scheme. And, well, let's see how it benefits a Devontae Smith, a Jalen Reagor, and these players. And I will admit, though, it's nice to see a lot of coaching. That's one aspect right now that you are basically witnessing that I couldn't tell you the last time I ever even thought of a situation where Doug Peterson was communicating with Carson Wentz to work on his form, to work on his structure, to work on his footwork, to work on the basic fundamentals of playing the quarterback. Have we seen that under the Doug Peterson era? Nothing really comes to my mind. So when you look back towards the front office side of things, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, are they smart? Are they dumb? They're idiots. They're morons. The only things I heard vomit out of the fan base's mouth over this entire summer, basically, until about a month or a month and a half ago when the natural shift in thought actually started running its course, where you go from I believe they're going to win zero games to I believe they can win the division at 10 games. We have basically now hit that mark, and you know, it's kind of the cycle of a sports fan here when it comes to the Eagles season. But I look at the way that all these coaches seem to be truly coaching up the players, and that fits the mold and the brand of this organization really has to reshape things and somewhat start from the bottom up. And what I mean by the bottom up isn't stripping it down completely with all the veterans that you once had, but it's now about, it's no longer, we need to go land a wide receiver who's disappointed in another city, New Orleans. It's about, let's groom Quez Watkins. Let's groom Devontae Smith. Let's groom Jalen Reagor. Let's start from the bottom with some of these young cats, with some of these younger ones. Let's start building them so they can be the next version of Fletcher Cox, the next version of Brandon Graham, the next version of Lane Johnson in their respected position. I know I mentioned three wide receivers, but there's a lot involved with, let's say, Landon Dickerson. There's a lot involved in, let's say, Kayvon Wallace. Let's mold this new era of Eagles football where you talk about those players the way that we speak about some of the veterans that have been around the block for quite some time. Jordan Mailata. Who knows? He could be in the next Jason Peters, Trey Thomas type of category as he gets better and continues to actually play the sport of football. It fits the identity of what we knew this team kind of needed to do. Let's take a step back. Let's not go all in this Super Bowl mode. It's not time for that. We need to reshape things. So you get a coach who's coaching, going through the progressions of the fundamentals, which is the basics, and you need to get that down first before you start taking those next strides. Or where there's clearly a fracture in a relationship issue, where did Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz ever go over the simplicity of some of this? Absolutely not. Instead, the mechanics just went to hell and the ball started sailing 5,000 feet. And let's be realistic here on Jalen Hurts. You need to know that there's going to be missed throws. There's going to be accuracy problems at times. That Quez Watkins miss, you'll see that in the regular season. That is going to be part of Jalen Hurts right now. But what I love so much about Jalen Hurts is the way that you're never going to question how much determination he has to fix those problems, how much will he has internally. So he puts everything in there to make sure that he doesn't fail. Now, ultimately, it comes down to more than just work ethic, right? Because the example I like to use is, you know who has a lot of work ethic? TJ McConnell. You know who has a cap on what he can provide in the NBA? TJ McConnell. There's only so much work ethic brings you. Eventually, you need that skill level to be at a high enough level. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't even have to be at the level of the work ethic, but it's got to be at an NFL level. So that has to be in there. I believe it is, though. That's the difference. I believe there is this skill set in Jalen Hurts that can be good enough to lead a franchise. And I will say this, it's not going to happen overnight. I don't believe that it's something that is a year away, one full season away. It's a journey. It's a growing experience. But just as I alluded to with all these other players, the quarterback is one as well. And you're starting to hear the news die down because of all the other stuff that keeps continuing to fly out with the Deshaun Watson rumors. And I think that's making a big play and a big role here in this new little surge we have from Jalen Hurts and the teammates. So this was being tweeted out basically about an hour ago. It's from Jordan Schultz, who is a part of ESPN. And this is somewhat of a story, but somewhat of a non-story, in my opinion, at the same time. I know that's contradicting, but when you hear it, I think you'll know what I mean. There's a fast-growing sentiment among Eagles players that Jalen Hurts is undoubtedly the franchise quarterback. His work ethic, intangibles, and overall skill level have captured the entire locker room. Players I've spoken with are consistently blown away by Hurts on and off the field. Now, I say it's somewhat of a non-story because I feel we knew this, right? I feel we knew the locker room presence was all in on Jalen Hurts. They love him. I mean, you hear Miles Sanders speak about Jalen Hurts, and his eyes get wide and they light up, and he's got a huge smile on his face. When you hear Lane Johnson talk about the summers and working out and the way they got after it, when you hear all these veteran players and Nick Sirianni and everyone involved in experiencing what Jalen Hurts is like as a leader and as someone who goes out there and practices every day and approaches the game with a beautiful professional mindset, that's somewhat common knowledge. That's somewhat already known. And I guess I have to look at it more from a national perspective, though. I know because my nose is deep involved in what's happening here in training camp. Maybe that's not known around the national media, considering we had Joy Taylor the other day just talk about outrageousness between the starting quarterback and who is it, and is it possible it's not Jalen Hurts because they're not naming Jalen Hurts the quarterback. Not naming him the starting quarterback is so simple. It's to keep him on his toes, even though he knows that it's his job. No one in the world inside that locker room has one thought that the quarterback is anybody but Jalen Hurts. As it should be, because we have a lot to learn about who he's going to be. So a few things I thought was interesting, and I wrote them down here. I heard someone talk about this today, and I thought it was an interesting approach. So when Jalen Hurts hit Dallas Goedert for 34 yards, magnificent throw, magnificent catch, perfectly placed, boom. Why did we act as a fan base so amazed and so enamored by a basic NFL play? This individual was basically bringing up that should be expected. You're talking about a quarterback in the National Football League. He hit receivers and hit tight ends where he needed to hit tight ends. That's the job. So he believed that there was an overreaction to the reaction of Jalen Hurts. And I do understand what he's saying, to be honest with you. There is reality to where he's at. Is the bar so low that we are now in a spot as a city where we see these throws, we're like, oh, wow. That's a simple NFL throw that majority of starters should be able to make blindfolded. I guess after last season, where you just saw the worst accuracy in the history of the damn world, it felt like, where you were depleted as a fan and you hated it. You hated Eagles football. No one ever hates Eagles football. Even when they're bad, you don't hate Eagles football. That was probably the lowest of the low that we have witnessed in the last 20 years. If not, it was one of maybe three seasons that felt that way in the last 20 years. So because we're basing it off of the floor of Eagles football, which was disastrous, painful offense that did not move the football at all. Not a damn inch. Barely scoring any points early, putting yourself at such a disadvantage, missing wide open people, routes that made no sense whatsoever, injuries, and picking bums off the street. It's because we're now looking at last year and applying a new version of football and seeing that again is somewhat refreshing. I'm trying to speak out loud and think out loud on why psychologically we feel differently about that. But there's truth to that mindset. Okay, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I think it's as simple as this to a little bit of a degree. It's right now, right? It's all you can base it off of. So because all you can base it off of is, oh, you have two options. Either they look really bad or they look good. Which one would you prefer? The alternative is it looks bad. So why can't we be happy that it looks structured? It looks detailed. The coach has the players doing little things in preseason games. Richard Rodgers throws a big time block for that Quez Watkins 79-yard touchdown. This veteran, this guy who's been around the block, is throwing mean blocks like that in a preseason game? Okay, Jordan Howard picking up a blitz to give Jalen Hurts time and space in a preseason game? Now, the running back position is definitely one right now that everyone's battling with. Kerryon Johnson, Miles Sanders, who had another drop pass, by the way, in this camp, in this practice, this joint practice with the New England Patriots. I'm telling you, it's going to be an issue. That's going to be a problem. It'll cost you downs. It'll cost you even playing time. It'll cost you plays to even call. Nick Sirianni, can you trust him to be a three-down back? Probably not is the realistic thought. Probably not. It's unfortunate. I don't want that to be my answer, but I think it's a real answer. Probably not, which is going to change a lot on what you can run when you need to be able to rely on your quarterback and running back to be on the same page and to catch the football out of the backfield. Anyway, Jordan Howard, I know it's life or death for him right now in the NFL, knowing how much talent is in that running back group. So he's going to be doing that regardless. I got you. I know. There's something to be said, though, about this detailed look and the way that Nick Sirianni has the players bought in. That was question number one with the goofiness and how outrageous he was. How will the veterans respond? And there was an element to me where I recognized Lane Johnson is Lane Johnson for a reason. He has the respect that he has because, well, he gives respect out there to others. And I didn't think for a second that they would just not give him an opportunity at all. I guess it really comes down to, because it's easy in May, in June, in July to feel better about your football team. When it becomes hard, how do you react? So these same veterans that have everyone dialed in right now, what will that look like 4 weeks in if it comes down to a slow start, win total wise? I was asked this question today. Broats, how are you going to possibly grade Jalen Hurts? Is it yards? Is it touchdowns? What is it? In a world of analytical data, my answer is right here, going to be the eye test. It's going to be the eye test. How does it look? How does it feel? How does the offense run? How much in command is he at the line of scrimmage when he does his checks? Is he hitting the proper checks? What's the offense look like in general with him under center? Are you moving the ball? Is there chunk plays involved? Is he reading through his progressions enough where I'm satisfied? there's going to be times where he leaves one out there and he leaves a play out there, maybe a 40-yard bomb, because he takes off for 20 yards instead, or he takes off for a first down of 9 yards instead, and he missed a wide-open play. That's going to happen. Jalen Hurts will make mistakes. He'll read the field wrong. He'll probably have a bad interception over the middle, trying to force something. All of this is going to happen. So it's a work in progress for such a young player. But it comes down to, if you're going to trust anybody to take that next step and learn from these mistakes, it's Jalen Hurts, to go back to the film room, to go back to the field afterwards and run it back 50 times in a row until it's perfect. All those little details that he's going to stress to make sure that it doesn't happen again, or it's limited with how much that's going to happen. Quarterbacks will throw bad passes. He will miss players. So you can't just rip him apart and ream him for that occurring. You have a young quarterback right now who's going to have to take plenty of years until he comes into his own. Look at Josh Allen. He's the perfect example. First year, they go, what, 5-6? Imagine what Bills fans were saying after 5-6 of the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. The common phrase that we keep hearing, though, is this front office doesn't really believe in Jalen Hurts. They're not sold on Jalen Hurts. That's why Deshaun Watson rumors were always surfacing, even though it's not anymore because of the more news that continues to fly out. And that is a messy, messy, messy situation. You got to run away as fast as possible. Now, you don't even want to even be associated with anything close to that nonsense of Deshaun Watson. So move away, Howie. Move away, Lori. I don't believe it's because they don't believe in Jalen Hurts. They might have some question marks and some thoughts on what he lacks and what he needs to get better at. Being around the National Football League for so long, seeing what an MVP Carson Wentz was like, seeing what a Donovan McNabb was like in his prime. You've been around the block. So I'm sure that there's some skill questions, which are very fair. I don't know if that narrative is as real as it is blown up to be. I really don't. Here's another phrase I constantly hear right now. The Eagles are going to be better than what we thought. You're right. They are. Why is that? Because you overreacted so much at the end of last season. Do you know how many fans thought that they would have to rebuild for the next 3 or 5 years before they win more than 2 football games? It was so terrible last season that it had everyone believing there was no shot in hell they could ever win a football game again for the next 5 years. And that was such an overreaction. It was so aggressive, and it was so damn emotional. I tried telling everyone, they're not as bad as what you think they are. Howie Roseman is not as bad as you think he is. He brings in Steven Nelson. He brings in Anthony Harris. He brings in Eric Wilson, who gets an interception today against Cam Newton. And I do want to touch on the actual practices and some of the reports happening from camp in the specific practice. But he brought in these players that are helping out big time on one-year deals so far, at least. No, seem to be making an impact so far. You overreacted to the hatred of Howie. Yeah, they're better than what you thought they were. Not because of they have this amazing team now that you never thought they would have had. It was always in this realm. It was always in this area. You just hated so much what went down last year, reasonably so, but it took you overboard. Remember, 3 years, 4 years, they won't win more than 3 football games. How are they going to ever win a football game again? Oh, it made my ears bleed. I understand how upsetting it was. Truly, I do. I'll never forget last year. I never will. When I'm 50 years old, I think I'll talk to my kids about my journey and my career, and I'll mention, you know, that 2020 season, it was a shortened, well, no, that's for a majority of other sports, but it was a shortened season for the NHL, right? Basketball was wonky, and the NBA Finals happened at a weird time. It was just nuts. And with the Philadelphia Eagles, you had Carson Wentz, who just won you a Super Bowl, and him and Doug Peterson just looked like they never coached in or never played or coached in the National Football League ever. They fell flat on their face. Sunday was the most pathetic days of the week. It was painful to sit in front of the microphone and describe the game action, describe what happened, because it was a nightmare. And it was so many boneheaded stuff. You punted against the Bengals and what? You played for the overtime. What? The coach and the quarterback didn't speak what? Oh, the list goes on and on. Last year is stuck in my brain for eternity, which makes me ill. Okay, so on Jalen Hurts still. It's been up and down for him. Some reporters claim he's been having some rough moments, some tough moments, and they might stress and emphasize the tough ones more than the good ones. Others are saying it's about 50-50 with positives and negatives. Is it possible, and it sounds weird to say, knowing his background and who he is and how he operates, but is it possible that Jalen Hurts is your game guy? He's your gamer. He's your, I'm in the moment, the lights are on me, I strive for greatness in that moment. It's about then, not so much practice, where it's just different. Maybe the adrenaline rush is a bit different. Maybe the intensity, just because you're talking about Sunday afternoon, you're talking about, in his case, Saturday afternoon, playing at the SEC schools and going to their buildings, and the fans are going nuts, and you're playing in the national championship, and being in those environments, it's so crazy, it's so whacked, it's so mind-blowing, it can't be duplicated in practice, where he's just not as sharp. Maybe he's just not as sharp in practice, but when the games matter and when things are really happening and happening in game speed, there's an internal clock and an internal mindset that hits a new level for Jalen Hurts, where the best comes out of him on game day. And I think you can tie this to personal experiences, right? I mean, we've all played sports to a point in our lives. How many of you had a teammate that's so nasty in games, in practice, though, would get beat one-on-one? In practice, would not have the same flow and their same efficiency. And it's weird because with Jalen Hurts, he's a guy that doesn't seem where he would let that impact him, right? It's football. Football's football. One day better. One throw better. One opportunity to get better. So it doesn't really fit the mold of Jalen Hurts. But at the same time, it does in a weird way. Speaking of weird ways and goodness, I have no idea what that means and how that ties together with DraftKings, because I botched that. But I will tell you that my friends over at DraftKings are just absolutely fantastic. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any college football game, no matter what. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So it seems, if you listen to the world of the Eagles beats during practice, Eagles won offensively and they won defensively. You're getting good push from Javon Hargrave and the defensive line, which is creating an interception. As great as it is to hear that this team is playing magnificent in practice for the most part, there is this element to me where, are we associating the Patriots with greatness so much where, you know, we need to take a step back and realize this team is without Tom Brady. You're talking about a Cam Newton who had a rough day, but he's had a rough couple of how do you do since coming to New England and then since leaving Carolina, I should say, and even towards the back end of Carolina in general. Cam Newton hasn't been a stud at all, so are we watching a bad Patriots team, which is making us feel better about the Eagles? Because normally when we see the Patriots over the last 20 years, they're winning championships every single damn season. So that is definitely on the table for me. That doesn't take away, though, the determination. And it goes back to the way Nick Sirianni has this team playing. What I saw in that preseason game from the starters, I'm basically hearing that I'm seeing in practice on one-on-ones, 11-on-11s, 7-on-7s in practice as well against a different team and a different person instead of your own teammates. I heard Brandon Graham speak about how much it sucks going up against Lane Johnson because Lane Johnson basically knows what angle he's going to take, what he's going to do, what his go-to moves are. You see another jersey, it raises the bar. The fire comes out. You're playing against somebody else now. You see a different jersey color. It's a big mental mind shift. And I like the way that I'm hearing this team is competing. Now, did some guys get beat? Yeah. McPherson, Avante Maddox. There was that tough play that you saw about where Darius Slay, and some reports at Avante Maddox, other reports at Anthony Harris. So I'm not sure who the secondary person was at that time, but there was a big collision there. I believe Derek Barnett had a big collision too with the New England Patriots. That one was a bit more scary. It seems Darius Slay is okay. I'm not too sure about the Patriots player that got banged up, but apparently it was pretty tough there. But yeah, I mean, it's clear that they're doing the little things and they're bought into the emphasis there. And that's where you got to be right now. It goes back to that doesn't absolutely correlate to a winning brand of football forever and ever and ever and ever. And Nick Sirianni is going to be the most successful coach ever. Just like when I heard him speak for the first time and it felt childish and high school-y, that does not mean that he's not going to be a good coach. So because I see something great right now, it does not mean it'll be great in September and October when you're losing football games and you're 1-3 in your first four and you have to keep the Doug Peterson concept going where the fellas fight for you still. It's better than the alternative, though. Could you imagine what the feel would be if it was bad, if it was sloppy, if it was missed throws, if it was routes where guys are running into one another? I love the ability of these coaches to coach. I love Jonathan Gannon and his buzz and the way that this team, I stress this a lot when it came to just the veterans. When you run out on Jim Schwartz's scheme, I don't believe they hated Jim Schwartz's scheme. The corners might have. After they get annihilated during a certain route. Something new, though. It's fresh blood. So now that you have the same players, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Hargrave, and Derek Barnett, and Josh Sweat, the fact that there's different concepts, there's different life, there's different juice, you're running different concepts and different formations, just brings this new life to the players that have been running the same exact plays and the same exact front four getting after it the same exact way, even though they were successful and they were a good defensive line for the last handful of seasons. Let's try something new. Let's see what else is in that repertoire. Defensive line is my favorite position group right now, which is saying a lot considering you look at the wide receivers, you look at the running backs, although some of those running backs are more of a bigger name than they are actually production at this point, and knowing where realistically Miles Sanders and probably Boston Scott is going to be, and maybe I'm writing in Boston Scott too early, there is, it's not the same level of, wow, okay, these names, these players, the same way a defensive front could attack you emotionally, the same way the wide receivers could attack you emotionally, because you're talking about so many limited touches for the back end of whoever makes the running back position. Think about this. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Hargrave, Kerrigan, Milton Williams, backside of this rotation. Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat. Wow. There's some talent there for sure. You're still going to need your front four. You're still going to need your defensive front to get home, to bull rush, to dominate the line of scrimmage. And I sense they will. Oh, I sense they will. Imagine getting to see Jason Peters on the left side with his hand in the ground, and here comes the Eagles just charging through him. How about that? Jason Peters heading to Chicago. Cracks me up. Just cracks me up. He's got nothing left at all. I love listening to this fan base talk about the Eagles and all, because I just love the passion for it. I really do. We're trying to figure out the smallest details in the world. One so similar to, did Nick Sirianni talk to Bill Belichick? We're analyzing this coach so much. We want to know, is it possible that this coaching staff is talking to one of the best coaches in football? And we take so much stock out of that. That's so important to us. That brings us so much value. What is the mind of Nick Sirianni? Is he trying to tap into who Bill Belichick is and his success? Does he care? Did he bow down to Bill Belichick as if there's too much respect for him? Did he rub his foot in the dirt, if you will? That type of mindset of, I don't care who you are, Bill Belichick, because I'm Nick Sirianni. Just based off of demeanor, of course. Just based off of body language and smiles and tone. And what's Bill Belichick's face like? Are they cracking jokes? Is he being high energy? How does he carry himself when you're discussing and in conversation with a coach as highly regarded as Bill Belichick is? We're psychotic, and I wouldn't want it any other way. It puts a big smile on my face knowing that it's important to us. And we need to know. We need that information before we can fall asleep at night. You're damn right. What other information do we need? Well, we need the fact that we need to know about Nick Sirianni's aggressiveness. In this last preseason game, he kicked a lot of field goals. And there were some that I thought, look, 247s and a 50. Maybe there's something here where he just wants to get the kicky boy some kicks. He had a bad season last year. Hey, Elliot, go out there, run out there, and knock some down. Now he feels good. He's in groove. He's in rhythm. Let's go. Maybe that's it. But I don't know. Nick Sirianni seems to maybe be on the softer side of the big testicle department. More field goals than going for it. If it's fourth and four and you're in a spot in the field to go, go. Let's not play no games, Nicholas. Go. It doesn't have to be as aggressive as Dougie P, where it's fourth and 27 on your own 32 and you're going for a Hail Mary with Carson Wentz and all vertical routes and an offensive line that's extremely banged up. Yeah, let's not do that. There's reasonable go-fors, though. And I don't know if he's gonna have the testicles. Something tells me he'll shy away more. And maybe, who knows, maybe it works out in his advantage, though. If there's one of the top questions I feel we're going to head into a week with Nick Sirianni sometimes is he going to go for it? Is he going to be aggressive based off of the previous week? You know, like, why didn't you go for it here? That's the number one question. Why didn't you go for it here? What's your thinking? We know they like to put a lot of stock in analytics, right? Doug Peterson used analytics heavily. Well, how is Nick Sirianni going to implement those factors of the front office, which we know have their hands involved in the mix on game day and game day operations and roster choices and all kinds of stuff? So if it stays the same, then it's interesting. I don't think it will, though. And if it's different, okay, why does Nick Sirianni get a say and Doug Peterson didn't get a say? Do they trust Nick Sirianni more? Do they look at the data that Doug Peterson used and they did not like their data and thought maybe there was a correlation between that and where they are now as a franchise? I don't know. Did they learn from how much power they took away from the head coach? My guess would be no. I'm looking at all angles here, though. Will Nick Sirianni be good at making adjustments? Second quarter, it's over. You go into the half. You come back out. Okay, now what do? And maybe the first few weeks, the Eagles have an advantage because there's not a lot of tape on what him and Jonathan Gannon like to run as coaches. Once we talk about week 7, week 8, week 9, week 10, will other coaches figure out their tendencies? If other coaches figure that out, well, you need to then counter that. Also, week 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, with the young team, are you figuring out your identity more? Are you feeling more comfortable on the field? Also, though, are you going to know how to win football games? Fourth quarter. What are you going with, Nick? How are you executing, Jalen? Devontae Smith is young. Quez Watkins is young. Jalen Rager is young. What do we got? And speaking of those three guys, have you heard of anybody else? Where's Fulgham? Have you heard Fulgham? I haven't heard Fulgham's name at all. Yeah, you're hearing a lot about Quez. You're actually hearing a lot about Jalen Rager as well. Tim McManus stated that today against the Patriots, he probably stood out the most. So it does seem that there's this spurt of, aha, hold on a second. I see what they saw in that first round talent. I don't know if we've necessarily seen that before. I'm starting to get my juices going a bit, though. I'm not going to lie. Eagles football is upon us. And I said this on the radio over the weekend. My seasonal depression is definitely the summer. And I know that makes no sense. That's bizarre. It's normally the other way around. Summer's where everyone's happy. Winter, late fall, you get depressed. It's dark earlier. I love that, though. I really do. I'm the complete opposite. And football helps with that big time. So my seasonal depression is coming to an end. And because I know it's coming to an end, because of football, my juices get going a bit more. Like, I'm happier and I'm just more excited thinking about Eagles football because I correlate that with when my seasonal depression ends. I know it makes no sense. I got it. Who the hell gets depressed in the summer? I don't know. It's just a thing. Seasonal depression. It's a part of life. Mine's the summer. Maybe because the sports calendar is so slow and I'm so used to watching horrendous baseball in the Philadelphia Phillies for so damn long that I just tie it with sad times in my life. I have no idea. but I do know that the Eagles put a big damn smile on my face, and I'm more and more intrigued by the Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts combination as the days go on, and with a lot more too. Jonathan Gannon was one of the most interesting, exciting pieces for me when looking at the coaching staff. He was a hot item around the league. A lot of teams wanted him. The Philadelphia Eagles landed him. It's so new, it's so raw, and it's off to a good start. So, for that reason, I'm in. I just wanted to sound like Shark Tank there. That's it. That's all I wanted to do. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Sports Talk with Broads, and I will see you next time.